Republicans to wake up. The Republican Party right now is not led by conservatives. There's a population out there that has to be told the truth. We have to. Do it live!
Now, from the left coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
The Peter B. Collins Show, supported by great listeners. Today, we acknowledge Margaret Anderson, Robert Donjacour, Michael McMillan, and Tom McAfee for your voluntary subscriptions in support of this program. If you'd like to help and you're able, go to my website, peterbcollins.com. Click on the link on the right-hand side of the homepage. Our voluntary PayPal subscriptions start as low as $5 a month. Today's podcast is brief, but very timely and time-sensitive. You're about to hear the voice of Akram Ramadan from Heathrow Airport as he prepares to depart to return to Libya, his native land, and he is hoping for a quick end to the revolution against Muammar Gaddafi. Here we go with our brief conversation with Akram Ramadan. The revolutionary fever that started in Tunisia, spread to Egypt, is now affecting the nation of Libya, the North African country that for more than 30 years has been ruled with an iron fist by Muammar Gaddafi. And joining us now from Manchester, England, is Libyan activist Akram Ramadan. I have just a little bit of information about you, Akram. I know that your father was a nuclear physicist who refused to work for Gaddafi and was imprisoned for years and tortured by the Libyan regime. Let me begin by asking what the status of your father is currently.
He passed away in 95.
He did?
He did, yes.
Okay. And was he a free man at that time, or did he die in custody?
No, he was a free man. He's been freed in 1988.
Okay. And so have you returned to Libya in that time, or have you stayed away?
I've stayed away since 91.
Since 1991. And what is your status? If you had returned to Libya before now, would you have been arrested?
I probably would, yes, straight away.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just for being an activist. Yeah, I would get arrested straight away for just being an activist.
Okay. And tell me, what kind of an expatriate community is there in England of Libyan nationals who would like to go home?
Oh, in Manchester on its own, there's about 5,000 families, which I can say everyone has got two kids. So that's around figure about 10,000 people there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep.
Now, I understand from the information I've been given that you're about to return to Libya for the first time in 20 years.
Yes, that's correct.
And how do you feel about that? You must have equal parts fear and aspirations of hope.
Well, I have been an activist for about 10 years, and I think this is a good opportunity to go home and help anyone I can, you know, giving them blood, drive a truck, whatever I can do, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Set up the radio station. I'm a broadcaster myself. Well, a broadcaster for a community radio station, a volunteer broadcaster. So I'm hoping if I can get there, I'm just at the radio going, to be honest.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
There's a lot of things to be done there, to be honest. There's a lot of things to be done.
Indeed. So yes. What is your view right now? Do you think that Gaddafi will be able to hold on, or do you think that his days are clearly numbered?
What happened to him in Berlin, to Hitler in Berlin when the Russians came up, to be honest? Did you get me?
I did get you. I was just letting that linger.
To be honest.
Uh-huh.
We called it Ella Hitler. He's going to die like Hitler, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to shoot him in the head and then find his body on fire.
And do you think that he is very well defended by the loyalists who are still part of his inner circle?
Well, his inner circle is hired criminals and thugs, to be honest, who are getting paid, a rumor says, £30,000a Libyan head, to be honest. So I think that's why they're still clinging to him.
Uh-huh. Now,
unfortunately, they don't know how he operates and what kind of head he's carrying. So I don't know. I wish them all the best of luck, because if the Libyans are going to get hold of them, I think they're going to make them not very happy, to be honest.
Uh-huh. Now, how do you feel about some of the high-level officials like Army Major General Suleiman Mahmoud, who has...
I don't have to mention the names. I think I know them all. I think it's... 42 years, a bit too late, I think.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about, because is this opportunism on the part of, say, the UN ambassador and others who are defecting?
Climates. We call them climates, or leeches. They want to leech onto anything.
Uh-huh.
The new system or the old system, I mean, it's 42 years too late, to be honest.
And so the one of the problems as an outsider that I see, Akram, is that because Gaddafi was so sinister and successful in killing any of his opponents, there really is very little left of a civil society or of any kind of structure outside the government. So how do you read the prospects of post-Gaddafi Libya, and how do you avoid having what you just described as leeches try to take over, because there will be a significant power vacuum?
I don't think there's going to be a power vacuum. I think it's going to be a transitional government. The people will elect. This is my wishful thinking. This is my hope. And this is what the national Libyan opposition conference, the NLCO, when they met in 2004 in London and again in 2008, they wanted to have a transitional government and let the people choose what kind of government should govern them. If they want a kingdom, they can have it back. If they want to keep the same Jamahiriya, they can have it back. If they want to do a republic, they'll have it back. It's down to the people what they're going to choose, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm hoping everything goes, you know, smoothly, and we get just, you know, a transitional power. The army holds it for 6-7 months, something like that, and then we take it from there.
Yeah. And do you think that the country will remain united? Because we've seen outside of Tripoli,
yeah.
You know, is where the opposition has basically taken control of major cities and the spaces in between.
When you say opposition, you have to define the word opposition, because it's not that position who's sitting outside the country and doing nothing and just twiddling their toes and going out to demonstration. It's the people themselves. It's the youth movement that is taking over the country. And I think their fathers and their bigger brothers are just helping them out to take control of their cities and make sure none of these bad thugs are still hanging about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what is happening. So, I mean... they are united. There is only one tribe, and it's called Libya, to be honest. Everybody is standing on that.
Well, but the accounts that I've heard in the West, and forgive me, because I have...
I've not focused
on Libya in any detail in the past, but it's described that Gaddafi is really a tribal leader, and that his tribe has been able to dominate a dozen or so other tribes that comprise the biggest populations in the country.
I can agree with you, but he dominated them with the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You be with me or you're dead.
And so how do we move from a tribal system into some form of a civil society and a government that allows for popular participation?
Society. Everybody thinks Libyans still live in tents. We are the second country in the Arab world who got its independence. We're the first country to get independence by a United Nations degree. My dad actually is a nuclear scientist. He graduated in 1972. So we've got a lot of doctors. If you actually ask the health services and universities in the United States, you will find at least 5,000 doctors are working there. So bringing the country back in line with the world is not hard at all. The internet has helped us a lot. The satellite television has helped us a lot. So literally, we're not in tents, to be honest. A lot of guys drive BMWs down there. Civil society, to be honest. And we can build it back up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's not hard. It's not hard to build it back up. We're optimistic. Now, very optimistic.
Akram, here in the United States, we're, I believe, properly humble about the limits of our influence over Libya. We don't buy oil from Libya. We only recently reestablished diplomatic relations after the Lockerbie dispute. And so from your point of view, first, what can the American government do to help ease out or get rid of Gaddafi in whatever fashion that occurs? And what steps should we take to support this popular uprising?
It's actually an intifada, because in a popular uprising is one of Gaddafi's words I don't like to use.
Ah, okay.
To be honest, I'd rather use the Palestinians word, even though I hate violence, but there you go. I think it's an intifada, a little intifada. That's what we call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what...
Question again, if you don't mind.
Yes,
sorry to
what should the American government do to support this intifada?
Stay behind us.
And
behind us,
should we impose a no-fly zone as long as Gaddafi is in power?
That never worked. When was this? In 91, when it started, there was a no-fly zone. That didn't make him any worse. It actually made him a bit more richer, made the other companies are dealing with a bit richer, because they established a black market like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want an engine for an airplane, you go and buy it from Tunisia. Tunisia already bought it from Lockheed Martin or something. So it's not the embargo itself. It's actually making sure nothing gets in. And what gets in is actually needed for the people, and no more than what's needed for the people.
So then would you support a NATO, a UN, or a U.S.-led blockade of Libya?
If that was going to take, yeah. I mean, I would draw that we can do it ourselves, to be honest. I'm hoping that we can finish them in 3-4 days.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Libyan people will finish them in 3-4 days.
Uh-huh.
But if it's needed for embargo, why not? If it's needed for a cruise missile to take them out, why not? To be honest, it's whatever it takes. It's finished. It's 42 years. People should realize it's 42 years. And I cannot blame the European government any more than I can and the United States government. You can't tell me they don't know anything about Colonel Gaddafi from 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They know him 20 years ago. They know him 20 years ago. They know him 40 years ago. They know him 10 years ago. And he hasn't changed, and he will never change. He specifically today in his interview was inciting hate against the people from Manchester, calling us every single word in the book, like we're drug dealers, like we're on LSD, we like on this, like on that, you know. The guy just lost the plot. So really, the guy doesn't need even a politician to talk to him. He needs a psychotherapist or something like that to speak to him. The guy is finished, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Let's say hypothetically that Gaddafi himself is killed, or it doesn't seem he'll leave the country. But if he is taken out, does he have lieutenants who will try to take over in his stead, or do you think that his supporters will just melt away?
I think his supporters will melt away. His supporters actually will be killed away, to be honest, one by one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of vendetta is going to happen. There's a lot of people that dads are being killed. There's a lot of houses being taken of people, property, da-da-da-da-da-da. His supporters are not going to just stay there. Actually, they might be claiming asylum in Europe. That's what I think. Because his son, Mohammed, has already left. He's in Spain. The rumor that he's in Spain. Mohammed is the eldest son from the first wife.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the communications minister. He runs Al-Madar. He runs Libyana and the internet. So he's the man behind all the electronic warfare, to be honest. And he's in Spain. So I don't think anybody else would stay than Gaddafi. As I said, it's going to happen to him. What happened in Berlin?
Mm-hmm. Now, Akram, I know you're going to board a plane in a few hours for Libya.
Uh-huh.
Will you fly to Tripoli, or will you go to Benghazi or one of the other cities?
We can't even get in there. There's no flights from England going there apart from the relief work to bring the expats out of Libya. But we're going towards Cairo, and then from Cairo to Alex, and then from Alex, I've got a cousin who lives on the east side of Libya, and he's going to get me in, hopefully.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you need in terms of trying to either build a radio station or build an internet radio presence? What are your plans?
Well, my plans, I'm going to go there and see what we need, first of all, to be honest. I can't have any plans from here.
Uh-huh.
You ask them what you need, they'll say, we need everything, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But I have to get there and make my plans. It's like going to a doctor. He has to see what's wrong with you first.
I understand. Well, yeah. Akram, I want to thank you for talking with us, and I have your email address. I'm going to send you an email. And if you can, when you reach Libya, if there's any way you can get a phone call out, I would love to follow up with you.
Yes, I just bought a satellite phone now from Heathrow Airport, so that's one of the reasons I'm going to go in there.
Okay.
As I said in the beginning of the interview, I'm a volunteer broadcaster, so I'm hoping to contact all the media companies, i.e. the big ones, and see how it goes.
All right.
And I was definitely on my list. Thank you very much.
All right. I will send you an email, and you just get in touch when you can, and I'd love to talk to you as time goes on.
Thank you very much.
Great to talk with you. That's Akram Ramadan, a Libyan activist from England, an expatriate who is on his way via Cairo back to Libya to see what he can see. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your comments are always welcome. Email humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.